it's Mike McEntee here on AM 950. Welcome to the program. Got some breaking news I want to talk about. The Minnesota legislature is meeting right now, and the Minnesota legislature has suddenly taken up the AFSCME and MAPE contracts. These are the two unions, the two union contracts that were supposed to be approved last year. They had negotiated them a 2%, a 2.5% increase for the union workers, respectively. And the DFL is saying, hey, if you guys, being all the legislators here in the House, want to approve your own pay raise here in just a few minutes, because they're going to approve the legislative funding, which would give them a 45% increase. If you want to do that, we should take care of these contracts first and approve them. So right now on the floor of the House, they're going through the debate on this. And a lot of the debate is focused on who didn't do what to get these contracts done. Everybody trying to make the other person look bad. But we're live streaming that over at theuptake.org, and we'll try to listen in here a little bit and let you know what's going on. We've also got tickets to give away. We gave away a couple last hour. We got tickets to give away to the Blue State Ball this hour. You just have to listen and call the number at the appropriate time. Don't call beforehand, because then you don't win. So pay attention. And you will have your chance to go to the Blue State Ball here coming up on March 10th. That is getting close. Now, the news of the day. Can you just imagine the new school supply drive that teachers are going to be doing? Help us afford to buy the bullets to protect your toddler from a school shooter. Yeah, Donald Trump is talking about arming teachers. Arming teachers. And is that going to happen?
So we're going to expect some overworked school social worker, or some person who's really, really great at teaching a kindergartner to read, to also be really, really great at using a handgun to stop an AR-15. It is never going to happen.
Yeah, that was Nancy Nord-Benz from Protect Minnesota. Big rally down at the Minnesota State Capitol today. We're going to let you call in. Well, you know, besides winning tickets, we want to talk about that proposal. If you think it's nuts or you think it's a great idea, I'd love to hear from you a little bit later on in the show when we open up the phones. So we'll get to that. Now, on Tuesday, we learned from Minnesota lawyer reporter Kevin Featherly that a bill to increase penalties against protesters in Minnesota will likely be brought up again in the Minnesota legislature. The bill got as far as a conference committee last year before Republicans traded away for other concessions. Now, today, we find out that Minnesota is part of a national trend. The Nation's associate Washington editor, Zoe Carpenter, has been investigating this and joins us with the story. Welcome to the show. Oh, let's get... There we go. Okay, now we got you. I'm sorry. Is it Zoe or Zoe?
It's Zoe. Nice to join you.
It's Zoe. Okay, Zoe. I'm sorry about that. Zoe, your
no
story
problem.
Has some very disturbing statistics, as well as some very disturbing examples. And I wanted to start with the statistics, the Standing Rock protest, which many people from Minnesota participated in North Dakota. It's kind of the mile marker and the starting point of your story. It's been a year since then. Tell us what's happened across this country since then.
Well, I think a lot of people assume that the Standing Rock protests are over because most people have left North Dakota who were participating from out of state. But for many of the people, several hundred of the people who were there, the saga is ongoing in the sense that they are still awaiting trial on charges that were brought for their participation. So in all, there were about 800 people charged with various crimes during the 11 months between the establishment of the first protest camp and the eviction of the largest protest camp about a year ago, so last February. And several hundred of those charges have been dropped, mostly due to lack of evidence, but there are still about 200 people, roughly, still awaiting trial. And those charges range from simple misdemeanors to felonies, and there are even six people who are facing federal charges and serious prison time.
Serious prison time. So that's what's happening in South Dakota. But what's happened since then, though, across the country, I think you said 30 different states, we've had laws like they have attempted to do here in Minnesota to essentially take protesting, your right to have a free speech and saying something, trying to criminalize it or increase criminal penalties for that. That seems to be a disturbing national trend.
It is. And, you know, it really did sort of line up with the Standing Rock protests right after the eviction of the large protest camp a year ago, North Dakota's governor signed 4 measures increasing punishments for demonstrators. And all told, since the election of Donald Trump, we've seen 56 bills roughly introduced in 30 states. And the good news is that last year, many of those bills, especially the most egregious ones, failed to pass. The bad news is that some did pass, and that already this year we've seen a number of them be either reintroduced or new legislation get introduced in states across the country. And that legislation ranges from increased penalties for trespassing on, quote, critical infrastructure. And that seems very clearly targeted towards the kind of climate and energy activists that we've seen. Pipelines, for example, could be considered critical infrastructure. And then there's another range of laws that seem to be targeting activists who block traffic as a tactic or who are using public space to demonstrate. And so I think those sort of seem to be in response to some of the anti-racist or racial justice Black Lives Matter protests that we've seen in the last several years.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is here in Minnesota. We just heard yesterday that that bill is likely to be brought up here in the Minnesota legislative session this year. It didn't get defeated. It just got tossed out of a conference committee last time around. But it has it had the Republican majority support, and the Republicans continue to control the legislature here. So it is probably going to be there's going to be another attempt at this. So we have those laws. We have the ones that are going after people who are protesting oil and gas infrastructure. Where is the money or the impetus that's coming from behind this? Because usually people don't act in mass unless there's somebody kind of behind the scenes pushing it. Is there oil and gas money behind this? What's going on?
Well, certainly there's lots of oil and gas money in the political system in general. We see the involvement here of ALEC. ALEC is basically a policy shop for the right wing that stands for the American Legislative Exchange Council. And they have created model legislation which is related to cracking down on anyone who trespasses on those critical infrastructure pieces, such as pipelines. So ALEC has crafted this model legislation, and now that essentially will get shopped around to Republican state legislatures or to lawmakers themselves. And so we can expect that to sort of help push the stone down the hill, as it were, to kind of pick up speed there. Certainly there are a lot of people who are fighting back against this. The ACLU has been weighing in, and I think certainly if more of these bills pass and are used against people who are exercising their right to assemble and right to free speech, I think we'll definitely see some legal challenge on constitutional grounds.
Yeah, one of those that just jumped out of me out of your article on constitutional grounds here was out of South Dakota, where the legislature passed a measure that allows the governor or the local sheriffs to ban groups of 20 more people from public lands and schools. How can that square with the right to assemble? That just can't stand up. Has it been challenged?
I am not sure what the status of the challenge towards that is. That's a great question. But certainly, I'm sure if it hasn't yet been challenged, that's probably because it hasn't been exercised yet against protesters. Yeah. You know, I think there has to be injury before it could draw a legal challenge. So I think we're sort of in the wait and see phase to see if anyone is actually prosecuted under that measure, or if people are banned from protesting in the future.
Now, the language that's being used here, it's not just the laws, but it's the language that people are using, and it's how people are being painted, I think, that's also a problem. You write that this is that there's a problem here, that's a lot of the protest is being tarred as domestic terrorism. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is really fascinating to me and troubling. So one of the things that we saw in Standing Rock was a very deliberate surveillance effort that was underwritten by the company that was backing the pipeline. And they hired essentially a military contractor that's mostly known for working overseas called Tiger Swan to conduct this surveillance. And Tiger Swan created these intelligence reports in which they referred to various protesters as using a jihadist insurgency model criminal, and all this other language that harkened back to the war on terrorism. And that's not the only example we have of this kind of language being used. There was a letter that was sent last fall to Attorney General Jeff Sessions in which a number of members of Congress suggested that people targeting infrastructure in their protests might be prosecuted under a domestic terrorism statute. So obviously this raises serious concerns. And, you know, one of the people that I spoke to for this story, Chase Iron Eyes, who's facing a felony charge for his participation in Standing Rock, he described this as a battle to control the narrative, which I think is a really smart way of thinking about it. Once we start thinking of protesters as using jihadist insurgency models, that really paints them in a negative light, and it changes the media conversation. And so I think this is something to keep track of, that has both legal implications for people protesting, and it also has sort of broader political implications for the way that we talk about public demonstrations and public protests and civil disobedience.
Now, it's not just the protests that are targeting oil and gas, but we're also talking about the Black Lives Matter protests. Those are the ones that the laws here in Minnesota or the bill is trying to target. You write that the FBI has just issued an internal memo or report warning that black identity extremists are going to be posing a threat to law enforcement officers. Have we ever heard that term before?
No, that is a completely novel term, and it's not really clear where the FBI got that or what. Obviously, its use is concerning for a lot of reasons. I mean, number one, there are obviously many threats to the country from white supremacist groups, and so why the FBI is devoting time and attention to black identity extremists is not at all clear. It's not clear that that term actually means anything at all. It just seems like a way to, again, create this narrative that people who are protesting for rights and who are, you know, calling for justice, that they're somehow the bad actors in this.
We're speaking with the Nation's Associate Editor, or Associate Washington Editor, Zoe Carpenter. We're talking about the laws that have been pushed, either they're passing or they're pending in a lot of states across the country that are targeting activism. And they're also catching journalists in all this. Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman was one of those who was arrested at Standing Rock. She talked about it with me last year. How common is it that journalists are being arrested? Are they let go without charges like Goodman was or not?
Well, it's still not super common in the U.S., but we have seen enough isolated incidents over the past year for it to be concerning to people who are concerned about freedom of the press. So Amy Goodman was the most high-profile example, and as you said, the charges against her were dropped. But there were several other journalists who were working, documenting what was happening at Standing Rock, who were arrested and charged, and some of them are still facing trial. So that includes Tracy Williams, who took the photographs that accompany my story. She says that she had let the relevant authorities know that she would be there and that she had obtained a press pass from the county sheriff. And so she was documenting the eviction of the protest camp. And yet she was arrested anyways, and now she's still facing up to a year in jail. There were a couple of other journalists who were arrested and charged and whose charges are still pending at Standing Rock. And then we have, I think, at least one and maybe more journalists who were arrested and charged as part of the J20 protests at the inauguration last year.
Yeah, I've personally had to go out and bail out some of my journalists when they were arrested during the Republican National Convention here for doing nothing more than just standing there taking pictures while other people were doing things. Some of them, you know, malicious things to property. Some of them just basically expressing their freedom of speech rights. So it's concerning to It's concerning that journalists become a target in all of this. Are the people who are doing this, is it, we talk about Republicans a lot, you know, being kind of behind this, but in your story, you write that it's Republicans and Democrats that are taking action on this.
Well, most of the legislative work is being done by Republicans. As I said, Alec, the right-wing policy shop, is involved, and that part of it is very much a Republican effort at this point. But there were four Democrats who signed on to the letter to the Justice Department last year suggesting that certain protesters be charged under domestic terrorism laws. I believe all four of them were from Texas, which is obviously a state that's heavily influenced by the oil and gas industry. And then, of course, we see that the harsh treatment of public demonstrations on the ground, that happened under the Obama administration, which obviously was a Democratic administration. Much of Standing Rock played out underneath the Obama administration. And so I think it's fair to say that both sides of the political aisle have been involved in situations that raise serious concerns about civil liberties.
It is concerning that that Democrats are involved, although I think the majority that we've seen here are Republicans, because, as you were mentioning, ALEC is an organization, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that I think majority of the members are Republicans, and the model legislation that they have been putting out here is catching fire across the country. I mean, what are some of the laws that ALEC is pushing, and are the states biting on this?
ALEC's law is based on one that passed in Oklahoma last year. And so far, they're just pushing this one piece of legislation, at least that I know of. And what it does is that it codifies criminal penalties for someone who's convicted of willfully trespassing or entering property containing critical infrastructure without permission. So that means that even if you just go onto property that has something that could be considered critical infrastructure, even if you don't damage it, it ups the penalties. And it also adds penalties to organizations who are found to be conspiring with those people who've trespassed. So that might include Greenpeace or other environmental groups who are somehow connected. So obviously there's a lot of gray room here, and it's not clear how this law would be applied, but there is plenty of room for it to be used very aggressively.
Well, we've been speaking with Zoe Carpenter. She's the Nation's Associate Washington Editor. The story is, since Standing Rock, 56 bills have been introduced to 30 states to restrict protests. It contains some wonderful photos that you should see here from Tracy Williams. You can find it over at thenation.com. Zoe, thank you so much for your time today. Keep doing the good work.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about that proposal Donald Trump tweeted out today and then doubled down on. Yes, that we should have arms, guns for teachers, and that will make our schools much more safe. I want to know what you think. 952-946-6205. It's the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950.
I'm Matt McNeil here. It's the 2018 Blue State Ball, set for Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell Mansion in Minneapolis. Coming back to the Twin Cities are Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman. We'll begin the evening with a VIP event starting at 5:30, and at 7 p.m., the general admission begins. We're expecting a ton of special political guests, and look for Mike McEntee and myself, too. VIP tickets are $100 each. General admission tickets are $35 each. Go to am950radio.com for ticket information. Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell, it's the 2018 Blue State Ball.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
I was talking to Chuck in his Genghis Khan suit and his wizard's hat.
It's Mike McEntee back here on AM 950. Donald Trump is proposing that the government arm teachers to deter school shootings. Yeah, this is what he's proposing.
I think a concealed permit for having teachers and letting people know that there are people in the building with gun. You won't have, in my opinion, you won't have these shootings because these people are cowards. They're not going to walk into a school if 20% of the teachers have guns. It may be 10% or maybe 40%. And what I'd recommend doing is the people that do carry, we give them a bonus. We give them a little bit of a bonus. They're, frankly, they'd feel more comfortable having the gun anyway, but you give them a little bit of a bonus. So practically for free, you have now made the school into a hardened target.
952-946-6205. What do you think about Donald Trump's proposal here? Matthew from Eagan has been hanging on for quite some time when we first mentioned this off the top of the show. Matthew, thanks for hanging on. Tell me what you think about what Trump is proposing here.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So President Bonespurs thinks they're all cowards. But all I want to say is, you know, they're having the CPAC meeting with Wayne LaPierre and the NRA this week and this weekend.
Yep.
And they're all there. They want to have guns in our schools. They want to have guns in the bars. They want to allow guns in churches. But CPAC, funny, they're not allowing guns at the convention.
Oh, are they? Well, it could have something to do with the, is it the venue? Because some places the venue doesn't allow them. Is that the case or not? Or do you know?
I have no idea whether it's CPAC not allowing them or the venue, but you would think that they'd have it somewhere where they allow guns, because you'd think that churches and bars and schools could say, we don't want guns here either.
Yeah, the NRA is planning to hold their convention in Dallas, and Dallas, I think, just the mayor, I think, just told them, please don't come here. We don't want your, we don't want all the problems that your guns and the protests are going to bring. So, it's interesting.
Well, it strikes me funny that this president talks about all the cowards, and he had bone spurs. He never served when he had his chance, and he's always run away from, you know, serving his country.
All right.
That's all I have, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, Matthew, thank you. Thank you for the thoughts on that. 952-946-6205. What are you thinking about Donald Trump's proposal? Give teachers guns. Hey, you know, they have enough trouble getting money for school supplies. Well, let's put the burden of also giving them the, you know, having to get guns or bullets. Maybe the government will pay for that. But, oh, my gosh. Brad from Minneapolis has some thoughts. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Mike, I think that, first of all, Trump's proposal is ridiculous. But the problem is people don't do crazy stuff if they have something to lose. And I'm not justifying any of their behaviors, but I think when you have millions of jobs that are shipped out of this country, when you could finish college and still have $150,000 in debt, your opportunity here and a chance... we have a friend of ours, their son graduated with an actuarial degree and can't get a job. And the reason, you know, because they farm this stuff out, they don't take care of Americans. And the real options and opportunities have been taken away by big business to control, you know, to make job shortages and to make it very difficult to live in America compared to how it used to be.
Yep, that is what doesn't get talked about a lot is our general.
Well, there's no money in it. There's no money in it because they lose profits because of that, and that's why I see the whole issue is people have to look beyond this. I mean, this guy was an outcast; he had nothing going on. There's even been shooters, and I'm not saying it's right what they did, that have sought mental health help. They turned them away at the hospital.
Yeah.
So do I think any of this is justified? No. But to get help is nearly impossible in America today. That's all I have to say.
Good points, Brad. We have basically bankrupt a lot of our safety net that goes behind all of this.
These people aren't interested in Americans. And, you know, and George Carlin, nobody cares about you, is as awkward as it gets.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hang up. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. 952-946-6205. Weighing in here on Donald Trump's proposal, John from Minneapolis has been hanging on the line. Hey, John. Whoops. We'll try to get to it. We'll try John again here. Hello, John. Are you there? No, we lost John. Okay, John, call back. Sorry about that. Fingers were not working as fast as I wanted to. 952-946-6205 is the number here. I wanted to let's get into the practicality of this. Is it even practical? Reporters asked White House Reporters asked White House Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah about that today. Is this really practical?
Raj, the president's talked about arming teachers who are capable of handling firearms. Mm-hmm. There are 3.5 million teachers, roughly, in the United States. He said it would be about 20%. That's 700,000 teachers. How would the president propose arming 700,000 teachers?
Well, I think what the president talked about was taking individuals, personnel within schools. Some could be teachers. You could have other individuals who have training already in how to use firearms or could gain training, and making sure that those individuals have access to concealed weapons that they could have on school grounds. In those instances, the presence of individuals would deter potential attackers.
But by his numbers, we're talking 700,000 teachers or other school personnel, maybe even more, armed in schools. How is that practical? How is that wise to have 700,000 more firearms?
I think when you have a horrific situation like you had last week and some other school shootings that we've seen, these horrible tragedies, what we think and don't think is practical can change.
Yeah, well, do the math. You're asking school boards all across the country to pay and arm to train their teachers. And even if the federal government picks up the tab, do the math, and you're talking close to $1 billion by Trump's own numbers, at least what he's proposing. Now, remember, Trump's proposed education budget, you know, this is the money we're supposed to be spending on people who are going to get educated, had a $3.6 billion, that's B with billion, cut, or 5.3% from the current spending levels. That's why more and more teachers are having to buy their own supplies. Now let's add bullets, rifles, and handguns to that back-to-school shopping list. So how is that all going over? Protect Minnesota, which organized a huge rally at the Capitol today, held a news conference just before that rally, and the group's leader, Nancy Nord-Bentz, was asked about arming teachers. She wasn't too happy.
In our country right now, we don't provide paper, we don't provide pens, we don't provide enough resources for teachers to do the job they have to do. In addition to teaching our children, they're also social workers, they're dealing with homelessness. We're now asking them to be human shields, and on top of that, then we also want to ask them to be trained firearms experts. And you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, Chief, but I believe that about 40% of the time when trained police officers shoot at a subject, they hit the subject about 40% of the time. And that's because it's scary and the adrenaline is going and they are trained. So we're going to expect some overworked school social worker or some person who's really, really great at teaching a kindergartner to read to also be really, really great at using a handgun to stop an AR-15. It is never going to happen.
Let our teachers teach.
Let our teachers.
Yesterday, we talked about how Trump's education budget request calls for a $25 million reduction in funds designed for national school safety activities. That's compared to 2017. Yet we're going to spend $1 billion to arm teachers. Your thoughts? 952-946-6205. Looks like the phones are jammed here. Let's start with Alex in Minneapolis. Hey, Alex, you got some thoughts for us.
Hi there. I just want to say that, the Second Amendment has been hijacked and has been misinterpreted and has been misused for all of these years and decades. And NRA and the U.S. government has the blood of their own citizens on their hand. And this is absolutely wrong. It is criminal that so many people are getting killed this way. And the pathology of this is sinking into the general masses and is affecting everyone's psychology. And this is something that we have to be thinking about in the future. It's not only Donald Trump that says that we have to arm teachers. And, you know, this is absolutely bogus and ridiculous to think that we have turned this country into a trigger-happy nation.
I get your point, Alex. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much for the comments. 952-946-6205. We'll get to a few more calls here before the break. Randy from Maple Grove has been hanging on. Hey, Randy.
Hey, that's actually Randy from Coon Rapids. But I wanted to call you, Mike, because I know you're a sensible guy. You sound very sensible. And, I don't think that they should, if a teacher wants to be armed, there's already a lot of teachers that are already trained. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to carry a gun in school, I think that would be great. I think we should have armed security guards and take down the banned gun signs. Because think about it. If you're a deranged lunatic like some of these kids that are going to shoot up these schools, well, where is the best place to go do that? Not at, at a bank or not somewhere where there's, or at a police station. It's to go to a place where there's a gun-free zone because they know there's no resistance. Now, if they took down all the signs and these deranged lunatics knew that, hey, if you try to go shooting up a school, there's going to be armed security guards there. There's going to be people trained to protect our kids. I don't think that's it's going to be a deterrent for them to go to those places.
And Randy, real quick question for you, because again, you got to get school boards to buy into this. But let's for a moment say this is where you go. Do you have unequal treatment though? Because you got some school districts that are really good. They maybe have some teachers who know how to do this and they're willing to do it. And you got some that don't. How do you handle the funding? How do you handle all that? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. I mean, what do you do with all that?
Well, isn't that kind of like, it's almost kind of like going gambling. You don't know, if you're a deranged kid that wants to go shoot up a school, you don't know what schools have one trained teacher or 50 trained teachers, but all of the schools should have an armed security guard. And I'm listening to a lot of liberals and stuff saying, well, how are we going to pay for all that? How could we afford not to pay for it? When it comes protecting our kids, that should be the first thing. If we're going to spend money on anything in this country, let's spend it on saving our kids and protecting them. I mean, we protect the president. We protect movie stars and stuff. They all have armed security guards. They're protected. Why not take that same initiative and protect our kids?
Because you have a lot of people you end up protecting, and we end up with a society that's just all worried about, people being shot. That's part of the problem there. But Randy, channeling Clint Eastwood saying, hey, do you feel lucky, punk? Do you think that I've got a gun or not? Michael from Hopkins, last phone call I can take here because we got to get to break. But Michael, thanks for calling. What's your thoughts here?
So I just heard Randy calling in. He called into Matt's show, and here's the fundamental problem with his argument. Exponentially, you would have to protect so many people in those schools that you might as well establish a police state. And my question is this, Mike, when you and I were kids, you went to school and you had a peanut butter sandwich, right? You could get a peanut butter sandwich in line. Mm-hmm. Now we have kids who have peanut butter allergies. And so because of a handful of individuals who have peanut butter allergies, you can't have a peanut butter sandwich in school. Why do we as a society on whole have to live in a police state for safety that's being created by a handful of individuals, respectively, who want to have assault rifles in their home? When you are dealing with countries like Australia, who had a shooting like this in 1999, they said, you know what? Nobody but the military and police get to have assault rifles. And guess what? They never had another incident like this. Yeah. That's all I have to say. This idea, as Randy seems to suggest, that, and I think Matt's numbers were pretty correct, that you were going to have to come up with $200 billion per state per year to have a handful of armed security guards in schools.
I don't know the numbers, but it certainly there's going to be expense. Michael, hey, thanks for the phone call. We got to take a break here, folks. We'll continue this conversation a little bit later in the show, but we have got to run here off to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Mike McEntee Show on AM 950.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life could benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on Earth. Artists like Mark Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
Welcome back to the Mike McIntyre Show here on AM 950. We are talking about Donald Trump's proposal today that we arm teachers because that's the solution he's come up with. I mean, I know there's some people who support guns, but I just look at this and think this does not make sense. You're throwing more guns into this whole thing, as we heard from Nancy Nord-Bentz a little bit earlier, when you have a security person, a trained security person firing a gun in a situation like this, 40% of the time they hit what they're aiming at. And you're going to put that person, you're going to put teachers in that same situation in a crowded room of kids. I don't see this working out real well, but maybe you've got a different idea. 952-946-6205. Janet from Minneapolis has been hanging on the line through the break here. Hi, Janet. What are your thoughts?
Well, hi. Thanks for having me on. I am
sure thing.
A Minneapolis school teacher. I've been a teacher for 28 years in inner city schools. We don't need guns. There's no way we need guns in our school. Here's what we need: counseling, mental health workers, smaller class sizes. We need the support of the community. We don't need more violence. There's no way I am picking up a gun. No way. And none of my colleagues will do it either. We need to take care of our students' needs. We also need to take care of our community's needs. People who are struggling in life, who can't afford to eat, who have nowhere to live. We have so many kids living in poverty. They come to us with so many issues. Why isn't it that what we're looking at? Donald Trump has no clue what it's like to live in poverty and to be surrounded by violence. That is where this city needs to focus, where our country needs to focus, taking care of one another. The guns will only make it worse. Thank you.
Okay, good words. Thank you, Janet. 952-946-6205. We're letting people weigh in on this question. Colleen from Blaine is on the line. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. Hello?
Hello. You're a retired school teacher?
Yep, yes. And I'm just calling to respond to the gentleman, Fox so-called news guy. I'm sure this is all over there. The police state that you can no longer get bully in school, and that is a lie. It's an out lie. I'm so aware of the kids who are allergic to peanut butter. Our kitchen staff, our lunchroom staff, teaching staff, those kids' names are posted, their room number, the time that they're eating. We all know who the hell they are. And you are no longer deprived of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That is a crock. They come made and packaged in like a burrito kind of serving, but you can get your peanut butter. As a little diabetic, since I was a kid, they have made more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for me behind that lunch counter when I was going down than I can number. And you can get the little containers of peanut butter to put on your English muffin morning, whatever the hell. That is a crock, so they cannot use that. As someone who spent my day December 2012 sobbing all the way home, having spent the day 2 doors away, a rear exit of my school teaching kindergartners without a key, and that was supposed to keep me safe. I mean, what a crock. We need to end the sale of military weapons, and that's the bottom line. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody throw in peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
That is insane. And they need to get a grip on the facts. Let's all be talking about the fact that Trump got 30 million.
I appreciate the phone call there.
Kids, they know exactly the dollar amount.
Yep. How we got from peanut butter from guns to peanut butter and jelly there, it was kind of an odd jump. But Colleen, thank you one for being a teacher and doing the work in the classroom, and two for voicing your opinion today here. I appreciate it. 952-946-6205. Mark from North Minneapolis wants to talk about guns with us. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Matt.
It's Mike.
We should
it's Mike
stop
today.
Even debating the issue of guns in the classroom. It's a distraction. I've been listening to the radio, and there's a candidate for the third that said it today. The Republicans have blood on their hands. That's the theme that we should keep repeating to the election. And I've heard the kids in Florida say it too. The Republicans have blood on their hands. We should be saying that over and over and over again until we win this election, and stop getting involved in little technical discussions, because they're just trying to distract us. They don't want to spend the money to arm all these teachers. It's a ludicrous idea in the first place. We should just reject it out of hand and say, you're absolute idiots. Get out of our way, you bloodthirsty Republicans.
Okay. Hey, Mark, appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. We've got time here, I think, for one more. Jeff from Prior Lake is on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, I think that this strategy would actually make it a little easier for these crimes to be committed. And right now, the deranged person needs to acquire a weapon. Then the deranged person needs to figure out how to get that weapon inside the school. But if there's armed teachers within the school, then all the deranged person has to do is gain access inside the school, identify the teacher that's armed, and then take the weapon from the teacher and then do the deadly deed. So I think it would actually make it easier for these things to happen and not harder.
Okay, some interesting logic there. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the phone call on that. Folks, we have to take a break here because we've gotten to that point in the show. 952-946-6205 is the number we've been asking you to call for talking about this. Now I'm going to ask you to call again. We're going to take the third caller at 952-946-6205, and we'll give you some tickets to the Blue State Ball. That's right, a pair of tickets to the Blue State Ball on March 10th to our third caller. Call now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Dismiss me out of hell.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
The Blue State Ball is back. Hi, it's Mike McEntee. AM 950's annual get-together of like-minded progressives is March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. And I will be there and look forward to talking with you. But we've got much bigger stars on the program. The voices you hear here every day, Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course, our own Matt McNeil. Plus, expect lots of big-name political guests and candidates. It's always a great time, and tickets are on sale now at am950radio.com. Come join us and celebrate the resistance and the excitement building towards the 2018 elections. General admission is just $35 and gets you in at 7 p.m. or come early at 5:30 p.m. with a VIP ticket for $100. Drop by and say hi to me, Matt, Norman, and Tom. The Blue State Ball is March 10th. Get tickets at am950radio.com and be part of the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show, where our producer, Eric Nelson, has been busier than anybody. I think he needs like about another two or three arms. The phones have been ringing off the hook here today as we've been talking about guns. And we also just gave away some tickets to the Blue State Ball to Leonard from St. Paul. He gets to go. He and his friend get to go to the Blue State Ball on March 10th and get to see Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman and Matt McNeil. And I'll show up, too. I'll be over in the corner, but those are the stars. We got Mayor of Minneapolis, new mayor, Jacob Fry is going to be there, and plus a bunch of other inspirational guests. So you will want to get your tickets. If you weren't Leonard from St. Paul, you need to get your tickets now to get to the Blue State Ball on March 10th. Go over to am950radio.com. We've been talking about Donald Trump's proposal here to arm teachers. And so far it's been overwhelmingly, I think most of you have thought this is a pretty stupid idea. We've had a couple of people have made some points and said this has some merit. So, you know, don't reject everything right out of hand. But for the most part, this has been getting panned, and it's been getting panned by teachers. It's been getting panned by, we had the people down at the state capitol today who want change here with guns. They want regulations. They want something to stop it. And it was overwhelmingly in that press room when it was asked today, what do you think about this? People started booing just when somebody was asking the question. You got some thoughts on this? 952-946-6205. Let me hear what you think about Donald Trump saying, yeah, let's give teachers a bonus. Let's give teachers a bonus. He didn't even say how much, but give them a bonus so they can go out and buy their own gun. We're not going to provide it to them. And then they can, you know, do whatever, you know, they can police the classroom themselves and fire away, you know, just hopefully not fire away, but they'd have their own, you know, they'd have their own conceal and carry permit. And the whole idea being, Randy was telling us, you don't know who has the gun. So, you know, do you feel lucky? Do you feel lucky shooting up this school today? I don't think a lot of people really think about it that way. I think that's not what enters into their mind. Hey, am I going to get shot if I go do this? It's really, I'm being driven by something that's, you know, we're assuming that somebody's rational when we do this. You're assuming that somebody's rational to begin with. So I think there's one flaw in this whole logic. 952-946-6205. Brian from St. Paul wanted to weigh in. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I tell you what, this conversation is driving me nuts. The first thing is that no one's going to talk about what happens once a teacher pulls the gun and the SWAT team shows up. That teacher's not going to have a prayer to say, I'm a teacher. I mean, who would do this? I mean, this whole plan is so crazy. That's all I got to say.
You know, okay.
They're going to shoot the teachers.
I think that's a definite possibility that somebody danger that you got in this whole mix. I agree with you there, Brian. We were just talking. Go ahead.
It's just ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. The problem is the guns. The problem is not the arming the teacher. We don't need that in our schools at all.
All right. Okay, Brian. Thank you so much. He had a good point there, because we're just talking about how journalists are swept up with the protesters. You can't tell one from the other. How can you tell? Obviously, the teacher is probably going to be the older person in the room when you're dealing with kids. But when you're getting to high school, the difference between ages of high schoolers and teachers sometimes not that big of a difference. And you maybe don't know. Marty from Minneapolis wants to weigh in. Hey, Marty.
Hi there. So for me, it's very interesting. Because I teach children with cognitive disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I have probably double responsibility for those students because they aren't able to process the information. The thought of having a firearm anywhere near them terrifies me, and it hopefully will terrify them. As it is, it's hard enough just for lockdowns and some of those things to get the kids to understand what they have to do. Anybody who thinks that paying me more money is going to motivate me to carry a firearm around my students, and I am in a building with 2,300 students, there is no way in the world you could pay me enough to do that.
Wow. Marty, you're on the front lines in education. We don't want you on the front lines in something else. We appreciate what you do, and thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
952-946-6205, if you want to weigh in here. We're almost done with the show. Norman Goldman is coming up here in just a couple minutes. The Minneapolis City Council is going to be dealing with this tomorrow, Friday, February 23rd. They're going to hear from students. Moms demand action against gun violence. And Mayor Jacob Fry, before voting on a resolution committing the city to reducing gun violence. Now, this is just a resolution, but it shows where Minneapolis is headed on this. The other major news going on right now down at the state capitol, the legislature here just suddenly took up the contracts of MAPE and AFSCME. These are the public employee unions that have were negotiated a 2.5% increase in their pay. And basically, the Republicans said no to that during the offseason at the legislature and shunted it aside. And today it was brought up saying, hey, you guys are about to vote on a 45% increase for yourself. You should vote on giving the AFSCME and MAPE folks at least the 2.5% that they were promised. That debate's been going on down at the state capitol. We're live streaming it over at The Uptake. You can find it on theuptake.org and over on our Facebook page. So all sorts of breaking things to talk about. We're going to pick up this conversation, obviously, tomorrow, Friday. We've got a lot to cover, and we'll be taking your phone calls as well. Be sure to listen in. And as always, if you support the work The Uptake does, go over to theuptake.org and consider a donation. I'm Mike McEntee. Be back tomorrow.
Mishad Cooley Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineer.
Hey, Mike.
You survive?
I did.
Holy smokes.
It was pretty much solid phone lines for a good 20 minutes there.
Yeah, that was interesting. So, whew. Okay, I've got a promo I got to cut.
Okay.